What is up, Big Rig Nation? It is June 21st, 2024. The boys are back, and what a special day it is that we're back. The Boston Celtics have won their 18th World Championship. If you forgot it before, Boston is well back. The drought is over. I got a bottle of champagne right here, boys. And like I said, if you didn't forget we're Title Town, you were reminded a historic run of these Boston Celtics. I know it's been a while since we've been on air. Only fitting that we come back on a championship, beautiful parade Friday. And just celebrate what a really historic run this team went on. 79-21, 16-3 in the playoffs. I'm on cloud nine. Pete almost tried taking the wind out of my sails a little bit by delaying the production of this episode. But boys, we have a lot to get to. We might even have a guest depending on if Pete makes it to the Phillies game or not. But boys, I'm on cloud nine. I couldn't be happier. 13 championships since 2001. 13.
Congrats, man. Congrats.
Thank you.
Congrats.
You just wish. Thank you. You wish the NBA was in a better spot than it is, you know, in today's world. It's just not. This one just doesn't feel as profound as maybe a Stanley Cup or a Super Bowl or even a World Series for that matter. But I'm happy for you.
Thanks, Pete. I was prepared to come on today and jealousy's it's a stinky cologne. And I know Pete hasn't had a championship since he's been able to drink. So I was prepared for these minor shots, but I'm a champion and there's literally nothing you can say or do. Dean's got a few shots of me in the group chat. You can call me whatever you want. You can call this Celtics team whatever you want, but we're champions. At bottom line, we are champions.
I don't think there have been any shots in the group chat.
There's been a few little jabs here and there, Dean.
No.
I'll let
Pete
them go.
Both Pete and I have been overwhelming with our support and happiness for you on this accomplishment. Great season.
Thank you.
You were right. And I think, honestly, I have to appreciate the symmetry of this pod because the last time we recorded, Purdue was going into the Final Four, and then you know we were off the air for a couple months. Pete took a little vacation. You know that the pod's hard work, so Pete took a couple months off, but we're finally back after a different team gets the job done in the final. So we're all very happy for you, Rick.
Thank you, dude.
Some of us are also ready to move on with kind of the rest of the summer, but you know, we're happy for
it's
you.
It's a great day. I mean,
enjoying your moment.
Did anyone go to the parade? I haven't seen anything.
1.5 million people, biggest parade ever.
Wow.
Nobody does it. Like, I mean, the view
How do they get that number?
Well, they estimate by square foot.
Oh, they estimate.
There's not a guy clicking a button. Anyway, I'm not here to get in the nitty gritty. It doesn't matter. It's a lot of people. The fans of Boston, like you kind of forget. Everyone was like, it's been almost six years, Dean, since the Super Bowl in 19. You kind of forget, right? And Boston, Title Town, the people, man, it's just different. It's just different. I love Parade Day. I love, you know, even if it's not Boston, but there was something different about today. And I think you would both agree about this, that this team was a likable team, like up and down, there's not one guy you can point out and be like, man, I hate that. Like, there's legitimately, and I'm saying this in a very unbiased lens, there's not one guy, one coach. It was a very one of the most likable teams in a long, long time.
That's fair.
I just disagree. I don't think they're that likable.
Do you want to elaborate on that, Pete?
I don't think Jason Tatum's like a decent guy, I guess, but it doesn't make him likable. I think they're low energy guys, Tatum and Brown. I just don't see a lot of excitement and passion.
Champs.
They had enough. Yeah, they had enough to win it all, which is great. Does that make them the most likable team? No, absolutely not. Are they? I don't think they're villains. I just don't think they're the most likable team of all time.
They're not unlikable.
But they're not likable either. They're just like whatever. It's just blah. The team's just like whatever. That's how I feel.
Okay. That's fine. We're champs. Feels great. And I'll say this: the whole team's coming back. Everyone's under contract. One through seven, through Peyton Pritchard and Al. Everyone's under contract. We're going to extend Derek White.
Oh, great! Peyton Pritchard coming back.
Well, I said 1 through 7, and I think Hauser 1 through 8, if you will, if you want to include him too. But dominant run, never even got it, not never even sweat, except for game four. That was not very fun. But boys, I think it's it feels great, and it was nice. It was a nice run. You know, ring chasing's hard. It was an exhausting 3-4 months.
I'll say this: like the playoff run for them was very easy. Relative to some of the runs we see in the past, but there's no doubt they were the best team all year. Like the playoff run could have been more difficult, but it's not like they only won because of that. So that's kind of my parting thing for the season is they were clearly the best team.
Yep.
They took care of business, you know, great offseason moves to get Porzingis and Holiday. It's like that's like the dream offseason for some of these teams is like to get two all-star level players, and you gamble a little bit on Porzingis because he always has the injury issues. I mean, he had injuries this year. You never knew like when he was going to play. And then Giroux, it's like, oh, well, he's getting old. He looked really bad last postseason, but they went all in those guys and it paid off. Like they were stacked. Those guys had big impacts, you know, throughout the year. And, you know, obviously Giroux was great in the fucking postseason. So, you know, shout out to the Bucks for, you know, shipping him off, replacing him with Dame and handing a championship to the Celtics.
Yeah, I agree with that. A lot of good offseason moves. I'm excited. Like, Pete, I've told you this a lot. I want you to experience what I've experienced these last couple months, a dominant postseason run. And my promise has been good ever since I met you. I said, if the Yanks win the World Series, I'm with you. You're my guy. You deserve this, Pete. You deserve feeling like this. You deserve sharing a bottle of champagne. The Yanks remind me very similar, not this last couple of weeks, but of the Celtics, very comparable seasons thus far.
A lot of season left in baseball.
Almost halfway.
Yeah. Long season.
Long season. We just let up 17 runs to the O's, so let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Mm.
Our bench is terrible. Our catcher can't throw to second base. Our bullpen can't
throw
is
third either.
Or third,
our yeah. bullpen. Our bullpen is suspect. I think they're good, but it was interesting listening to Michael Kay. Made a really valiant point, I would say. The reason we can't win extra inning games, this ghost runner at second, all of our bullpen right now they're contact pitchers, right? Which totally screws you when you start with a guy on second. We don't have a lot of swing and miss bullpen guys, which historically we have in our bullpen, and we don't anymore. So that's it's an interesting take, but I think we got to tighten up the bullpen, get some swing and miss guys. I think we got to – you can't have the three guys coming off your bench be like automatic outs because you swapped them for a base runner in the seventh, you know? So there's some work to do at the deadline. If we want to – everyone's got to stay healthy, number one. And there's some work to do with the deadline. I don't think we're so dominant that the season's over. But I appreciate the sentiment. I think, listen, I want to win a championship as much as anyone. You know,
Pete, you deserve this.
I could open a bottle of champagne right now. I don't. The championship doesn't correlate with this. The only time I
can no. Anybody can order champagne, but not the day they won championship.
Yeah. Pete's just popping champagne.
Anyone can take a boat ride, Pete, in Boston.
Want me to go get a bottle and pop it for you?
No, because you don't want anything. You could do it all day long.
Just get some casual Friday night champagne.
It's hard to describe what I'm feeling is all I'm saying. But thanks for, I appreciate the Yankees update. Pete, maybe we'll even back it up a little bit. We've been the pod's been MIA, right? We got to address the elephant in the room, if you will. Not for any bad reasons, but more for good reasons. This is showbiz. Showbiz is, it's hard sometimes. It's work. We're not full-time podcasters yet. We're not making that much. So that requires us to have to find other jobs, which we all have. So Pete, you can share as much as you want. You don't have to share anything.
Yeah,
but so, the floor is yours.
Yeah, for the listeners, big life change for myself and Mallory. We've left Nashville, Tennessee. We've moved our roots up to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, for a new job. And big change. Big change. That's why we've been a little off the grid. I'll take credit on that. I think Dean and Rick have been readily available the last couple months, but they don't really know that I've had a ulterior motive here of why we haven't had a podcast.
Oh,
it's
really?
Not just because of my move.
Okay.
We have not had a podcast since Purdue lost the championship, and I really wanted to give you guys some time to sit and think about what happened versus UConn on that night and have a past tense perspective, because I think present tense, like we're doing right now with the Celtics, can be a little.
No, it's awesome.
It wouldn't have been awesome for Purdue, though, is what I'm saying. So I wanted you guys to sit on it, let it marinate a little bit. And I want to hear perspective on that really quickly, because the last episode we had was right before the Purdue championship game, or maybe before the Final Four. And here we are, second place for the Boilermakers, first place for the Celtics, as the season's closed. But let's hear some perspective on that quickly before we move on to baseball, I would say.
We might have a guess. Well, Pete, first off, congratulations on the move.
Thank you.
You're moving to a city as rich history. I would say more rich history than sports history. But we wish you the best. You're getting closer to your roots. And we're glad you're settled in.
Yes, we're live in Philly, and we podcast back on the regular schedule now.
Yep.
It's gonna be a shorter commute now for the parade.
That's a good point. Yeah, we'll be.
You just take the train.
Thinking ahead, right up
to Fifth Ave. Yeah. Purdue, man, it feels like light years ago. Dean, I'll let you go next. I was there. Those are both games. Probably everyone saw my Instagram, but yeah, dude, it was surreal. It was the first, because we talked before the Final Four, right?
Yep.
Okay. It was the first pinch me moment that I think I've ever had it in any sports game. That's saying a lot, right? I don't mean to state the obvious, but yeah, it was incredible. A million humble, Purdue fans.
Humble brag.
I'm just being honest. I'm just being vulnerable. It was amazing. Phoenix was amazing. The weather was great. Final Four game was so fun. Because there's four different teams there. There's probably like 60% Purdue fans at that game. There's a lot. And the rest probably spread out between Bama and NC State and UConn. But it was great, man. The NC State game was never really a sweat, like too much, a little bit. So that was great. Like that was, I think the probably the best moment was after the game, and then that Sunday because we were going to the Natty, and then I think kind of reality maybe starts to set in a little bit that we weren't. Yeah, I think we were like six and a half point underdogs, and I think we were set with house money. It's like we could win the Natty, which is crazy. It's crazy. Purdue, we just lost to a 16 seed. So all in all, the UConn game was great for like the first 16 minutes. Coming out of half, it was pretty clear that we just couldn't hang with them, and they were just going to close out on our shooters and let Edie try to score 60, and he didn't. So it was great. It was amazing. I don't think I was sad at all. I think we're just kind of don't frown because it's over. Be smile because it happened. There we go. Thank you. And so yeah, it was great. It was being there was great. Dean, I'll let you kind of wrap it up.
Before Dean goes, I just want to say I was really happy for you guys, and that's sincere. I'm not happy for the Celtics. Not happy when the Patriots or the Bruins ever win, or the Red Sox. But I was genuinely excited and happy for you guys. So that was pretty. That was an awesome run. Congrats.
It was awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Pete. And I know you're sincere. It felt different. It did feel like way different because, you know, it even feels different now from like the Celtics winning because it's, you know, we were kind of expecting one, but man, Purdue, we just have never been there. So anyway, go ahead, Dean.
I mean, I didn't really have anything special to add. I had a lot of FOMO from looking at all like the Instagrams and snaps from the group that was there in Arizona. It just looked like an incredible atmosphere, like the day leading up to the game. And then that Sunday in between where you had to have felt like you were on cloud nine because mm-hmm. the big win against NC State looking dominant. And then it's just like, hey, you got a shot against UConn. And, you know, yeah, the game was what it was. UConn was a better team. But I said, I want to say it was on that episode before the Final Four. I was like, if we lose to UConn, then I can live with that because yeah. UConn was clearly the best team. And I mean, they showed that. I mean, they methodically just like wrecked us in the second half. But I mean, that's basically kind of the pin. Like, on one hand, it's a little bit sad, but not really. That was kind of the pinnacle for like Purdue athletics. Like, it's hard to complain that they didn't get that one extra win, that one extra step. Like, reasonably, that's about as good as you could ever hope for Purdue sports. Like, football, no chance. Basketball, it's like we've had a lot of really good teams, and there have been a lot of maybe even better Purdue teams that haven't made it that far. So I think, yeah, all in all, it's like I came away being like, that was a great season. Like, that's probably the best Purdue season that I've seen. And yeah. I can live with that.
Yeah. I think that was the only other acceptable scenario other than winning the Natty was just to lose to UConn in like a fairly competitive-ish game.
If we had lost to Alabama, different. I would have been pissed. Like, I would have been fucking furious. Yeah. But the UConn, it's like, whatever. Sometimes it's just a better team.
And it kind of felt like being there, it was just like everyone was like, man, we've never been here. And it's like everyone came out being like, it kind of had a feeling like we don't know when we're going to be here again. Like, you know, it's hard to get here. Like, every ex-Purdue player was there. Isaac Haas was there. Like, people that are just like, you know, obviously, like Drew Brees was there, like everybody. Drew Brees said everything, but yeah. it was cool. So, thanks, Pete.
Hey, it's what I'm here for.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is the dog days, boys. This is.
Oh, we still got hockey tonight.
Yeah. It definitely did turn into a serious hockey town. Getting interesting. Yeah. We're very close to the dog days. We do have hockey. I mean, it turned into a really good series. If this wins tonight, Edmonton is going to be absolutely bananas.
I think game six is in Edmonton, right? I believe
tonight.
And seven's in Florida.
I kind of wish game seven would be in Edmonton.
Flip flops. I agree, Pete. That would be great. That'd be good, McDavid. I mean, do we have much to talk about this hockey series?
Just that we're still alive.
We're holding it. It feels like we're grasping for straws. Like, this is like, I mean, once I think it's over by probably Sunday or Monday, that like we're just all-star game and prepping for college football and watching the Yankees. So
Summer Olympics.
Summer Olympics.
That's a good point.
I was reading a tweet. It said, like, I feel like the Olympics were a massive deal when we were kids, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. 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 Like, and now I forget it. There's Olympic trials going on right now.
Yeah. In Indy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's probably due to, like, the fact that there's no Michael Phelps, there's no Usain Bolt. You know, there's very, very big stars kind of coming up in the 2000 and 2010s. So, yeah, it doesn't feel like it has the same.
Yeah, but Olympic stars are made in the Olympics, right? So, like, if Kuchnow is coming out of this one, we might have a new American hero. Like, they don't just – all of those folks got – like, Usain Bolt wasn't just big because he was a great track. No one watches track besides the Olympics. No one watches swimming besides the Olympics. So, I think
– yeah.
Who knows? Out of this one, we might be looking forward to the next one 4 years from now. So,
yeah. I think Olympic stars are built in previously. Like, I think it's like anyone can win a few medals, I think, you know, but the legends, the Simone Biles, you know, the USA women's gymnast, like the legends are kind of built previously. And then it's like, all right, can you do it two times, three times in three Olympics every, you know?
So maybe it might just be a clean slate this time.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the Ryan Locke, you know, there was like a lot of good storylines.
I've always kind of enjoyed the Winter Olympics more personally. I just enjoy the events more with hockey and all the like the speed skating and the downhill skiing. Like I like the winter more personally.
Yeah, we're skiers, people.
I like the individual events more so than I do like the team events, like basketball and soccer and hockey at the Olympics. I don't know. It just, I like the individual events. I always forget that there's team sports.
Is this the one with flag football or is that the next one?
I don't know. I think it could be the next one.
Knock knock.
And with that, do you want to introduce Rick?
Yeah.
Dean, so, where are you?
He's at a B dub. So we got a Zoom bomber, if that's what they call him. Joining us, I teased the guest in the beginning. Showbiz, the podcast was delayed. He's making time for us. Let me set the stage real quick. I know this podcast has deemed what Dean was just back in, it's probably back in November, December.
Dean, Krause. What? Oh, the
when that happened?
Like, let's middle of last year. Let's say like January or February.
Okay, something. Let's say middle to end of last basketball season. Chicago Bulls. Probably everyone remembers they had a halftime ceremony to honor the late Jerry Krause, legend Bulls GM during the 90s, the Jordan heyday. His wife in a wheelchair was getting honored, you know, very like typical things you see in, you know, kind of middle of the road winter Bulls games. They got nothing else to do at halftime. So bring her out. Chicago, the fans that were there, which is crazy that there were fans around, just relentlessly booed her. And so it wasn't a big deal. It was like, wow, that stinks. And so we jumped on the pod and I said, I was like, this is how curses happen. This is how curses happen. It's disgusting. And it wasn't just that the fact that they was booed, but it was the after the fact of nobody cared. They actually doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down, continue to whatever down is after quadruple, Pete. I don't know, maybe help me out. But they continue just to double down, especially a city which we were talking championships earlier has not a lot to show for it the last, you know, 20 years, if you will, maybe longer, minus the Bulls. But so there's a curse on Chicago. We have someone joining us from Chicago. So I do want to give him his flowers and say, Mike, thank you for coming on. Mike from Chicago. I won't say his last name. I don't want to dox you. But
first time caller, long time.
I don't even think he's a long time listener. He's a first time caller and first time listener. But Mike, thank you for joining.
What's up, guys?
We have a lot. We Dean and I throw a lot of stones in our respected group chats of this, the city of Chicago. I'll stop talking after this, but you know, we invited you on to more or less give us the state of Chicago. You can defend it. You can do whatever you want, but the floor is yours.
Yeah. Chicago's never been better. I would like to get a quick stat check. Dean, you can maybe edit this in. In our lifetimes, how many championships Chicago has had, and then just put that up against other cities with four major sporting teams. I think it's going to be near the top. We're not number one. We might not be number two, but
I mean, I think we're Chicago, north. Like White Sox and both baseball teams?
Blackhawks. I mean, you curse too. Everybody.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
I'm pretty sure the number is 11. I'm pretty sure the number is 11.
Yeah.
And that's nothing to, you know, what's Indiana at?
Not 11.
Chicago is double.
I mean, New York has like 15 teams, and I think they're probably pretty close to it. The Yankees got quite a few in there.
But the question,
yeah.
How many championships since the Krause curse started?
How many championships have been played, Dean? How many have been played? Two?
The NBA and the
Super Bowl? Are we counting? I mean, Dean did say that this curse is kind of slipping on.
Yeah, what is the? Is it a sports curse or is the whole city just cursed?
I think it's actually, yeah, it might just be life, but sports are definitely included.
Because, I mean, I could show you outside right now. It's definitely sunnier than it is in Denver. It's been the best weather year.
Go ahead.
The weather actually has been pretty good
since I can remember in the city of Chicago. And I have nothing to complain about.
Mike, let me ask you this. Well, we joke. I think a lot of people think we're joking. We're always like, oh, there's like a curse. And we're, you all are to the fact that you're like, well, it's a nice day. How can we be cursed? Like, it's sad that we've gotten that far. Like, that's the standard of not being cursed. There's a Kenny Chesney concert and it's not 1,000 degrees or minus 30. Like, that's a win for Chicago. But let's get down to like the nuts and bolts, right? Of the major sports teams. And we can include the Sky.
Those aren't major sports teams.
The WNBA is not major sports.
WNBA is definitely a major sport.
No,
since Caitlin Clark joined, now it is.
It's power five. Like leading off first take. Okay, whatever.
Cameron Brink tore ACL. I mean, it's going downhill.
We'll leave this guy out of this. But the major sports teams in Chicago, none of them are even remotely close to like a 500 team. Or they're close to like a 500.
If we walk back really quick, we're going to add a couple championships because the Sky have definitely won a couple with Candace Parker. So just want to throw that out there.
Prior to the booing of Mrs. Krause, but the part I understand the point remains. But Mike, let me ask you this: I know everyone's like holding out on the Bears because they did have a good draft, but that'll really see if the curse is in effect. But Mike, what team is close to even remotely being in contention for like a wild card or playoff team?
I think the Cubs are 3 games out of the wild card right now. I mean, the Sox are they're a poverty franchise, and I hope they move to Nashville. So that would actually, in my mind, that would be a lifted burden on the city if that were to happen. So to some listening, that might be a curse indicator. Others, that's honestly like a stain removed.
That's a good point. I think we got to give you that.
Yeah. That is a good point. I hope your dad's not listening.
I agree. I'll send him the link. We hope he is listening because we want more listens. But yeah,
that's a good point, yeah. We'll take it off. Go ahead, Pete. Were you going to ask something?
No, I just think, honestly, I'm rooting for the city of Chicago. I think we all love the city of Chicago, and we want to see you guys thrive, and you're not right now. So. Mm-hmm.
I did a little research before my time on the pod here, and I Googled Kraus curse, and there was one Google reply to that, and it was a 2004 article talking about how Jerry Krause was so shitty that he just cursed us with the worst players imaginable for like the next 4 years. It was an ESPN article from 2004. So that's the traction we have on the Krause curse, is that he was horrible. And just the ESPN article is like complete satire of like how bad he was. And I think booing Mrs. Krause, she was probably just, you know, remembering her husband fondly and just crying because of that. I mean, just her emotions overcame her.
She was remembering him fondly while the whole crowd is booing her.
Let me ask you if Roger Goodell is getting honored at halftime of the Super Bowl and everyone boos, is the whole world curse? Because that's what's going to happen. And I don't think Roger Goodell's wife is going to be like, it's going to be.
That feels like
a not a lot. I'm talking about 40 years from now. That's going to happen.
No. I mean, we're not hypotheticals, Mike. We got to talk.
Put the podcast in the time capsule.
We'll put this. We have a lot to go in the time capsule. I'll put the champagne bottle in the time capsule. Would you like to apologize to hopefully not derail the whole Bears off season training camp and season?
I'd like you to put your money where your mouth is. $200, the Bears have a better record than the Patriots at the end of the 2024-25 season.
I'm with Mike on that.
If Chicago's
that's like cursed, the tallest midget, I don't think that's like a they could still be very. The Pats aren't going to be good.
If the Mayflower is real, if you're not cursed by Brady, and you know, and we are cursed, I don't understand. Like, it's an easy win. We're a cursed team, according to you.
You're cursed city.
Yeah, the whole thing.
I'm like, I don't understand. Like, if the Pats are 5-12 and the Bears are like 6-13 or 6-11, well, that doesn't really prove anything.
That would confirm the curse.
Yeah,
that sounds like purgatory. 6-11 is purgatory.
I'll retool the bet. Anybody on the pod can take the bet of whatever the Vegas line is for over under wins for the Bears. The Bears are cursed. It's under by 6. Am I wrong?
But being cursed is like you're gonna be bad. It's like the groundhog seeing a shadow. It's like you're bad. You're like an over like a 4 win total. I don't. That's not a win, and like that doesn't feel like you're uncursed if you hit your win total.
The line's 8.5. It's a winning season.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, we can
winner. I mean,
we can talk bets later on. But if it's as easy as you coming on here and apologizing for what happened that night to potentially unlock a lot of winning seasons, multiple championships, or even just not being the worst team in every single league, why won't you do that right now?
I don't believe that's the case. And I don't need to humor that stance.
You don't think what's the case?
That we're cursed to be the worst team in every major sport?
We can go from through until the Blackhawks. You were the last team. Bulls.
I mean, Bedard got hurt before the Kraus curse.
He didn't get better after it either.
Well, I mean, he broke his bones. the timeline was already set.
Fair.
The Bulls are selling everybody, as we saw yesterday. Lonzo can't get better.
Mike is never really getting better. He said he's.
You're not gonna sway me with Bulls talk. I'll tell you that much right now.
Okay. Well, like I said, we just wanted to
Cubs are a game back of the wild card right now. One game. So sorry, three was misinformed. They are one game back of the wild card.
You also got to remember the National League right now is like the worst conference or the worst league right now that we've seen in Major League Baseball in like 20 plus years, right? Like you could be five games under 500 and be three games out of the wild card. It's just terrible. Like the Mets are. They're streaking right now, but they're terrible and they're right in the wild card hunt. So let's not like hang our hat on that right now.
Well, we got time to turn it around.
I'm rooting for you. My fiance is a Cubs fan. I'm all in on the Cubs. Like let's get hot.
Shout out, Mel.
Let's be very clear. Nobody wants you all, the city of Chicago, the weather of Chicago, to be the best more than we do. Like that's why we care. But we have to have a real deep look in the mirror and understand what's at stake. And so let me ask you this, when would you believe the curse is real? Like what else has to happen?
It's just my lack of superstition. No such thing. Uh-oh. Am I lagging?
A little bit. Your lack of superstition.
Yeah,
that was an omen.
Interesting. The internet's not working in Chicago.
Yeah, interesting, right? When you tried to say that, okay.
Rick can attest that that has been a lot longer than the
that was definitely a pre-curse.
Long-standing issue.
I totally agree.
Dean. I totally agree with what Rick and Pete said. Just a friendly reminder, because we are hard on Chicago, but it's out of love. But I'm not sure the play is to deny the curse's existence. I know it frustrates Chicago that we keep bringing it up, because the curse, it doesn't just go away. This is how, like, 100-year curses start. They start with probably about 10 years of denial. So we just want to skip through that part, get the city back on track. I love going to Chicago. I mean, most of the time. This time of year. I like going to Chicago.
Chicago's great. It has a lot. It has the Bean. It's got Luminati's, Rush Street, Michigan Ave, my second home.
What's the popcorn place?
Garrett's.
Oh, yeah.
All good.
You know, the suburbs are good. You have too much at stake here to mess around here, Mike.
Yeah. I'm good. I'm going to stand strong. I think Chicago's never been better. The morale couldn't be higher in the city. And I think that Rick's insistence on curses, he's recursed himself.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
He thinks because he won a Mickey Mouse championship that he's back. But in reality, he went to Dallas to try and close it out and suffered the worst loss in Celtics finals history.
That was a blowout.
Chickened out on betting 500 on Dallas to hedge and came away with nothing. So I'll say it here now on the big rigs that the Rick curse is back on. If Rick is present, fade.
Unless you're at a Purdue Elite Eight game or Purdue Final Four game.
Can't see his team's clothes.
And I had the worst bookie in the world. I was in Texas. I couldn't bet. And I made a phone call to a loyal, trustworthy friend. We'll cut this. He couldn't place the bet. He did not have enough funds to place the wager I wanted because it was and we got blown out. And that's why I didn't go to game five. So
I have the receipts that say send me the money and I'll place the bet. Anyways, guys. Some of us have day jobs. I gotta get back to work. Love you all,
Mike. One last question. We'll get you out of here on this. Here we go.
Yeah.
Magic 8-ball, crystal ball. Mm-hmm. Who's the most likely Chicago team to win the next championship?
The Bears. The Bears are contenders for the next 8 years. Probably two or three Super Bowls.
Whoa.
Okay.
All right.
Wow. Okay.
Question answered.
Drinking on the job. Okay. All right. All right, Mike. Always a pleasure. We'll catch you
later. Peace and love, boys.
Peace and love, boys.
All right, Mike.
Thanks for joining, Mike.
See you, Mike.
Hey. All right. Appreciate Mike coming on, man. Like, we've been asking, we've been reserving time for Chicago, and not one of them has stepped up. Credit to Mike for coming on, and not credit to the rest of Chicago for making Mike have to stand up and face music for the entire city.
It was definitely Mike. Yeah, shout out to you. Shout out to, you know, sticking to your guns. You didn't fold. You know, sometimes getting under the limelight on a big stage like this, you know, you say things you don't mean. And, you know, he stuck to his guns. Do I think he's dead wrong? 1,000%. And I think he's delusional a little bit. But, you know, the curse, you know, we'll have to speak for itself.
Curse is TBD.
Someone's got to be the face of it, right?
Yeah, someone's got to be the spokesperson. So all you other Chicago, floor is always yours. There's always an open door to, you know, and I guess time will tell. So, you know, we wish the best for the Bears and the Cubs that are one game out of wild card and also like 500. So,
yeah.
Okay. All right, boys. Baseball, Pete, I know we covered it for a second. Your team's the best. I know you said a few things, but are you feeling good?
Feel good. Like I said, a lot to figure out. But I think if I were to draw up the perfect start to the season, we're living it right now. I mean, this is everything you want. Mm-hmm. I still think the O's have our number this year, which is a scary thing because they're young and they're going to be around for a long time. But hey, Juan Soto has been everything you want. Judges. After your comments around how can you pay this guy so much money in April, has been the best player in baseball without a doubt.
But maybe a thank you would
no,
suffice.
No.
Ever since I sent that text, he's been on fire.
Aaron Judge is the front runner for the MVP, bar none, right now. So I appreciate. I guess thank you. I'll give you a thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You probably saw it.
There we go.
But a lot of work to do, right? Like, this team's made the playoffs. Besides last year, pretty much every year, and we tend to stumble and stop hitting in October. So until then, my excitement's on pause. But so far, so good.
We've seen this movie before.
Yes.
Any concern of Judge's arm or wrist?
No.
No. Absolutely. Okay.
We're good.
Gary,
Does it scare you how good the Orioles are and how young they are?
Yes.
Like. I went to see them play the White Sox like a month ago, and it's like all their guys, like first and second year guys, and they're killing it. And you're just like, man, they're gonna have this team around for a while.
Yeah, no, it does absolutely scare me. But hey, good for the O's, good for Lenny, right? Good for TJ, my buddy TJ, big O's fan. They've had a long drought of mediocrity, so I don't like them. But good for their fans, and they're going to be good for a while. I mean, Yankees and Red Sox, for that matter, got to figure out how to beat them. I mean, I do love just seeing the Blue Jays, the small window they had the last couple of years just close and the door slammed shut on them. I was so over them. Feels like the O's just kind of stepped right into that slot in the AL East, and the Rays will be back. I think they're having a tough year, but they always find ways to get better. And just like always, the AL East is king. So,
king. Yep. Well said, Pete. Like I said, I think this is your year. I look forward to, you know, this podcast in November. And you got the guys. I mean, you don't need too much at the deadline, do you?
No, I think we need a lot.
I think you always you need always something need. At the deadline. You always need something at the deadline because other teams – other teams are going to scoop shit up. Other teams will get better.
I'm okay with the rotation as it sits today. I think we need bullpen help. I think we need some quality bench players that can hit the ball and provide speed. I don't love Clay Holmes, tell you that right now. Never have. I know he started off the season extremely strong, but the guy just lets up hits. Just no two ways about it. And in the postseason, that doesn't bode well. So. You can't just count on the guys behind you to make plays. I need my closer to be swing and miss. I want to feel good going into the ninth inning. So, yeah, I think there's work to do, but you got to feel good about the lineup. Anthony Volpe is a stud. Ben Rice, who just came up to replace Rizzo, has got a ton of potential. I still think Rizzo will come back and be the first baseman this year, but knowing you got him in the hopper feels really good. I wouldn't be surprised to see Glaber get traded at the deadline. DJ's not hitting well right now, but I still think it's in there for him. This is his spring training in my eyes right now. I think overall good, but work to do.
Honestly, dude, just watching the Soto Judge pairing is insane. It's just because Soto doing what Soto does, I think we've been calculating the number that he's going to get this offseason, and it's got to be up around $700 million now. If Rick and I, if our calculations are accurate,
it's very high right now. Yeah.
But, I mean, Stan's hitting the cover off the ball too. Like he still strikes out a lot. Don't get me wrong. I don't feel great when he's at the plate. But if you were to tell me he was going to have 17 homers this year and be healthy for half the year, just half the year for the whole season and have 17 homers, I would have been like, I'll take it. And he's been healthy all year and has 17 homers, and we're not even at the All-Star break. So if he could land somewhere around 25 to 30 and be there and not get hurt, like that's a win in my book, right? Not for the contract he's got, but for what the expectations were.
Yep. Yeah. Shout out, Mike.
And one last thing, Verdugo. Appreciate that, Rick. That guy's a Yankee. That guy was never a Red. That guy loves.
He wanted to stay. What are you talking about?
Yeah, not anymore. You know.
You didn't see him glaring at the dugout after they got their doors blown off back to back nights.
He loves being a Yankee.
He has to say that.
He's a dog.
He was glaring because they traded him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was mad because he loves the Red Sox.
That guy bleeds blue. That guy bleeds blue right now. That's a distant memory, the Red Sox years now.
Dude, I don't know, man. Pete, I get what you're saying, and I kind of get those vibes, but I don't know, dude. There's something deep down. Like, I'll tell you when I see a Yankee. I don't know, dude. He's too gritty to be a Yankee, dude. His clean-shaven face, like.
Yankees and Red Sox have similar vibes of, like, you want that dog in them a little bit. The Yankees have a little more class. But we always have that one player that's got that dog and that's got that
– class? Domingo Germán and what was the other guy?
Let's
you had a bunch of like that. You had like a bunch of wife beaters on your team last year.
Class. Yeah,
they're all gone now.
Class. Is that class, Dean?
Wife beaters?
I'm gonna go ahead and say no, and that we're gonna give Pete the chance to retract that statement.
Pete, do you want to retract that?
The organization is class personified. You know that.
Yeah. Cashman sleeping on the street
for a good cause, Dean.
No. I'm backing him up. I'm saying that was a good move. That was a classy move.
His wife kicks him out once a year. You're on the street tonight, Brian. I'm just kidding. It's for a good cause. It's for a good guy. We can laugh. You can laugh about it. Come on, man.
Nope.
Rick. Yeah.
I got a question for you. How long after the Celtics do you expect to get? For you to be back in full-on Red Sox mode, assuming that they're like still in it.
Yeah, look, I'm dead serious, dude. I was locked in on this playoff run. I kept an eye on the stand. I just didn't. The first game I watched was that like Sunday night baseball game the other night. I'll probably need like another week or two just to soak this all in, like. I don't know, man. Like, you don't know how you're going to feel after a championship. And this is, I think it's more, we were so dominant, but like, this championship has felt bigger to me than I anticipated. I knew it'd be big, but the city today, the reaction, winning at home, it's all been bigger than I anticipated. So I might need a little bit more time. But, you know, I think maybe around, you know, middle of July, we'll be ready to make that wild card push and we'll probably see the Yanks in the ALDS.
I don't know. I mean, I've been impressed with the Red Sox so far this year. I'll tell you that. So, kudos.
I mean, we seriously have, like, everyone's on the IL.
And you're still playing well.
And John Henry is a complete loser and didn't sign anybody. I don't even get into it.
Yeah. We'll save that for another pod where we actually you know, talk more about baseball. So I think there's a lot of stuff that I think there's a lot of teams to talk about.
Yeah, yeah, we gotta dive in deeper on baseball for sure.
Dean, any 30-second thoughts on the Astros?
I mean, the Astros are a hospital team this year. There's a lot of issues. There's not enough time. There's a lot of issues with the Astros. The glory days probably over for a little bit. Mm. Might be time to rebuild.
Okay. So, all right, that sounds good. Man.
About time, right, Rick?
About damn time.
I mean, dude, we never show the Astros. They know that. We own that's my park. So, yeah. All right, boys. Any shout outs? We've had a little bit of time. Any last minute shout outs before we wrap up?
Shout out to all the listeners, of course.
Yeah. Do you think there's any left?
There will be. We got to get them back.
Shout out to the listeners that have been asking me where the fuck the pod is for the last month.
it's right here. Hey, you got a billboard right by your new apartment, right?
I do. Yeah.
We should throw a little sign up there. How much do you think it would run us?
Free.
Yeah, I'll just sneak up there.
I'll just go climb up.
Hey, whatever gets the job done.
Yeah. All right, boys. Well, Pete, you're on deck for the next championship. Dean and I have got ours. Thanks for riding with me, boys. This one felt really good, number 18. But as we always say here in Boston, our favorite championship is the next one. And that goes for all of us. Someone wins, we all win. Right?
Yep.
Congratulations, Rick.
Thanks, Pete. It was a pleasure. Pleasure riding with you. Now we're with you, man. We're towing the boat. We're on the Yankees. Got some futures on them, so
it's our time.
It's your time.
He's got next.
All right.
I'm on deck.
You're on deck in the circle. Absolutely. Well, it's been way too long, Big Rig Nation. We are so glad to be back. Thank you for listening today. And we will hopefully see you sooner than later. So we love you all. Talk to you soon. Peace. Show them.